So here in Exodus 16, where we were last week as well, God tested Israel again. Remember, he tested them at the Red Sea to see how they would respond to being trapped. Would God protect them? They failed that test. He took them across the sea to the waters of Marah and to see how they would respond. Would God provide for them? They failed that test. Then last week, he said, I will Well, then they tested him again with their complaining about not having anything to eat. And so God said that he would provide them food, which he did via quails. But he also then began the era of manna, which lasted for 40 years, which was yet another test to see if they would obey his rules about the manna. He had three rules. And, of course, they failed that test. But embedded in this chapter, which we went over last week from the standpoint of their disobedience, is a great lesson about God's word. Because as we know, the manna pictured Jesus Christ, pictured Jesus as the word. And so there's some beautiful things that we can see starting there in verse 14 of Exodus 16. The Bible says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So I'm going to take my title from verse 21, gathered it every morning. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at this passage about your precious word, may it stir our hearts to be students of your word. And I pray, Lord, that it would be glorifying to you and pleasing to you. And Lord, that you would work in each of our hearts through this time. We love you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So five things I want to point out in this passage that teach us a lesson about the Word of God. And the first thing, of course, is that the Word of God is miraculous. The manna was miraculous. The manna was directly from God. It wasn't, man was not involved. God just literally dropped it out of the sky. It obviously had perfect nourishment qualities because it fed the children of Israel for 40 years every day. Imagine feeding the people every day for 40 years, 2 million people. That's a lot of food. But it was from God. It was miraculous. And when we look into the scriptures, we find that God's word is truly a miraculous book. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12 and just be reminded about how powerful and miraculous this amazing word is, which the manna pictured. And notice the Bible says here in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's miraculous. That this book can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit. That this book can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. No other book has that power. So God's word is miraculous. It was sent to us directly from God, and it is a miraculous book. We're told in the scriptures that it is our only weapon against Satan other than prayer, and it's referred to as the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. And Jesus used it, of course, to resist the devil there in the desert when he was tempted. We're told in Jeremiah 23:29, it's like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. In James 1:21, the Bible says it is able to save our souls. That's miraculous. This book can save our souls. And so the first thing we see when we're looking at this illustration, if you will, of the Word of God through the manna is that it is very miraculous. And God sent down manna to feed Israel. God sent down His Word to feed us. Amen? And it's miraculous, just like the manna was. But the second thing we see here is that it was food. Now, the manna wasn't just something for the Israelites to gawk at or say, wow, look how amazing God is. But it was literally their food. It was what they were going to eat each day. Unless they had other opportunities to get game or whatever, that was their meal each day. They were to eat the manna, and God sent it down to feed them. And when we study this word, we find that it is our food. Let's look at some verses on this, Jeremiah 15:16. But this book is our food as Christians. And we need to be feeding on it because it is how we grow. Just like Israel needed to feed on the manna to be able to survive, you and I as Christians, if we want our Christian life to be fruitful and to survive, we need to feed on this book. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. When David spoke of the word, he said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When Jesus was tempted in the desert in Matthew chapter 4, what did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God in Matthew 4:4. There Jesus again likened the word of God to bread. And then 1 Peter 2:2, if you'll turn there, we find that the word of God is not only miraculous, just like the manna was, but it is a Christian's food. And God wants us to feed on it. Just like they ate the manna to survive, you and I need to eat the word of God to survive. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Notice God teaches us there that we can only grow as we feed on the Word of God. Just like a baby desires milk, God wants us to desire the milk of the Word. He wants us to desire it that we might grow. So, in comparing the manna to the Word, we find that it is miraculous and that it is food. Let's move on. Exodus 16:16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So what we find is with the manna, every person had to gather for himself. In other words, husband couldn't gather for his wife, couldn't gather for your kids, or your auntie, or your grandparents. Everybody had to go out and gather their own manna. That was how God designed it to be. When it comes to the Word of God, each of us is to gather for ourselves daily. Amen? We're not to be going to someone else and say, hey, read the Bible for me today and tell me what it said. We need to be reading it for ourselves every day, going to it every day for ourselves. Just like they had to go out and gather the manna for themselves each day. And if you look at Joshua 1:8, we all love this verse. Joshua 1:8, talking about the importance of meditating in and obeying God's word. What does it say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When God gave the word to Israel in Deuteronomy 6, he said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, Deuteronomy 6:6. And talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. It was to be a daily thing. It is to be a daily thing for you and I to get into God's Word. And that's a challenge for each of us. Was I in the Word today? It's not complicated, but we need to be in it every day. It is miraculous food from heaven, and God wants us to go out and gather it every day. All right, the fourth thing that we see down in verse 20. Verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. We can't leave it till later. We can't say, oh, tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the Bible says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We can't put it off. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, Proverbs 28:9, even his prayer shall be abomination. The Bible is our guide. Amen. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Psalm 119:105. We're commanded to read it. We're commanded to study it. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. We're to memorize it. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that it might not sin against thee. And we're to be in church to hear it as much as possible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, we can't leave it until later. Israel had to eat it that day for that day. Now, some of them disobeyed, of course. Said, oh, I'll store it up. And it didn't work, did it? God worked another miracle and made it go off. So, it's miraculous, just like the Bible's miraculous. The manna was food, just like the Bible is food for a Christian. We're to gather it every day, and we can't leave it until later. But one of my favorites is verse 21 of Exodus 16, and they gathered it every morning. That's our title. It's our title tonight. They gathered it every morning. God wants us to start our day with him. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'd rather end my day with him. So I pray at night and I read my Bible at night. That's up to you. But the Bible has a lot to say about starting the day with God. I'll give you an example, Psalm 5, verse 3. Let's turn there. And there's quite a few examples in the Bible, especially from the life of David, where he made it clear that he started his day with God. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And you can do your own Bible study. Just look for the word morning in Psalms. And you'll be amazed at how many times David talked about starting his day with God. It's significant that it says they gathered it every morning. Not every day. Every morning. So their first order of business when they woke up was to what? Go gather the manna. Go gather the food that they were going to eat that day. And what lesson can we draw from that? That's what God wants us to do. When we get up, we need to gather the food that we're going to eat on that day. Amen? From this book. And David talked many times about how he would get up early and spend time with the Lord. I forgot to write down a couple of references, but I think, yes, Psalm 108 to verse 2. Let's look at that. Psalm 108 verse 2. Again, David singing a song unto the Lord, praising the Lord for who he is. Psalm 108 2. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. Now, why would he put that in the Bible unless it was important? This is God's word. So we can draw many lessons from this manna. It fed them for 40 years. But what is God teaching us? Well, we get to the New Testament. Jesus tells us he is the bread of life. that was in response to them, the Israelites, saying, look what God did. He gave us manna through Moses. And Jesus said, actually, I am the bread of life. And that bread couldn't make them live forever. My bread will help you live forever. And so we have in our hands the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God wants us to recognize the miraculous power of this book that He has inspired for us, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Recognize that it's miraculous, to recognize that we need to feed on it, and that we need to feed on it every day for ourselves. We can't read it and study it for others. We must do each of us for ourselves, that we can't leave of it and say, well, I'm going to just read seven times as much on Sunday morning, and that'll be it for the week. No, God wants us to be in there every day, and He prefers, looks like, that it be in the morning. David said, I myself will awake early in the morning, O Lord, will I direct my prayer unto Thee. And then Acts 17:11, we'll turn there quickly. God commending the church at Berea. We looked at this a couple of Sundays ago in the morning. But again, the Berean Christians are being commended by the Apostle Paul here for what? Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, another good Bible study would be to go through and find out how many times God compares the Bible to food. I just gave you a couple of references tonight where Jeremiah talked about it and Peter mentioned the milk. Of course, we looked in Hebrews 5 where it talks about the milk and the meat. Many times David likened the word to honey and other foods. And you'd be amazed if you just look through and said, how many times does God compare the Bible to food? Why is that? Because that's our nourishment. We need it. And we need it every day. So they gathered it every morning, the Bible says. For 40 years, this was the system. For 40 years, everyone went out and gathered their own. They had to go out in the morning before the sun waxed hot. They couldn't store it up. Couldn't put it off. All of that. Yes, to set some rules to test their obedience, but also to teach us a lesson about the miraculous bread that God sends down from heaven and has put it into our hands. How blessed are we to have this. Praise God. So the Bible says they gathered it every morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your precious word. Thank You for writing it for us through Your prophets. And Lord, for preserving it for us and giving us a copy of it in our language 400 years ago. Thank You. Lord, we just can't thank You enough that we have it. May we therefore show our gratitude by being in it every morning. Reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating in it, and realize the importance, Lord, of it in our Christian walk. May we not put it off. And may we not think that we can let it go, but to realize how critical it is to our walk. So thank You for teaching us this tonight from Your precious word. We love You in Christ's name. Amen.